So they said that 21% of healthcare employees say that they write down their usernames and passwords near their computer.
Golly.
It's brute. I mean, you... anyhow.
Can you define near?
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindel and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. And joining me as always is Donna Grindel of Cardin.
Dun, da, da, da.
Let's fly on up in here.
I was always a fan of Mighty Mouse. So
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
See, this is going to be the summer of the superhero movies. I mean, there's one like couple weeks from now. The new Avengers movie. Deadpool's coming out in May. Man, it's just going to be awesome.
You're so excited.
I am excited. But
you got, you know, Black Panther's done amazing stuff. So
yeah. And see, he's going to be in the new Avengers movie too. Yeah. Which is next weekend for me.
Everybody's worried about Groot, though.
Groot. Anyway, so, speaking of superheroes.
Yeah, we're recording in the afternoon, and it's not our normal, you know, just as we get going time. So this will be a little weird for us, but I think we'll be fine.
Yes, we shall. So,
this one comes out, it's the first episode in May, so we're coming up on our official anniversary.
Three years. Oh, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then we had that whole year where you nagged me to do it, which might as well count as the same kind of pressure.
I know. See, if you'd have done this when I told you the first time, we'd have been so much further along.
Yeah, never mind. So what are we talking about today?
Oh, today we are going to talk about taking candy from a baby. No, we're going to talk about don't accept candy from strangers.
Yes.
And we shall see why.
Well, that's what we're all taught, but then we turn around and do it anyway as adults. We apparently lose all of those skills we learned early on.
No. Mm-hmm. It's even worse than that. We tell the kids don't take candy from strangers, and then one day a year we take them out to all the strangers we can find to take candy from them. What's that about?
But I grew up where we knew everybody, and you had to get in the car and drive to their house. So
yeah,
I can't comprehend that concept of going to, you know, houses along the neighborhood, but that's not for me. So candy from strangers it will get you in trouble.
Yeah. Or sometimes you don't want to give candy to strangers, as we'll see too.
Yeah. Well, you think you're going to get something in return and then you don't. So
I know. Don't you just hate that?
But I mean, there's so much, and we had talked about insiders a lot, and there's some reports that came out, but we had done it a lot. So I set it aside and thought, well, we'll do it again later. And then I saw some more news reports talking about it again. So now's the time. This is some pretty interesting statistics and examples of just how wrong things can go. But
yes, before we have some cool
stuff before that, though.
I know. So go ahead and where are you going to be at? Because you got like just one more thing on the calendar right now.
I know. Yeah, it's the event that I'm doing in June, the North Georgia Medical Management Association in Dalton, June 14th. We're talking about how HIPAA can't be something you worry about once a year. Wouldn't that be a great idea?
I would like for some people just to worry about it even once a year.
Well, that's what we're gonna make sure that you get beyond that. So that's my plan, and I do webinars for them. We got a webinar coming up on infection control for your technology. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that, and you know, lots of things.
Cool.
Then everything goes quiet for a little while. Everything is private.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of a summer off, maybe.
No, we're working on some plans for some stuff already.
All right. Well, you know, speaking of plans for stuff.
Yes.
We have the HIPAA boot camp that we will be gearing up for next. I guess the next one will be a live event.
Yes.
So we haven't yet announced the date, but it is very, very limited in seating. So if you're interested and you want to get your name in the pot, then head on over to helpmewithhipaa.com/bootcamp or thehipaabootcamp.com. And you can get some information there and go ahead and let us know you're interested. And we'll let you know as soon as we open the doors for enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. I always enjoy those.
I know, they are good. And we get to have such great conversations. I like them.
I know. It's the first day, I think, is the most fun because everybody is like picking their jaw off the floor the whole day. And it's like, it's okay. We'll get there. We'll get you to where you need to be.
We'll get there, and then by the time we're done, you can at least have a plan if you choose to have one. We have had some people that are like, I shut down. But we digress.
Yes. Also, if you are interested in helping us keep the lights on and you want to donate to this podcast, we appreciate it. And you can do that from helpmewithhipaa.com/give. We have multiple ways to give, and depending on what you give, we might also give back. So check that out. Don't forget we have an app for that, and it also has the HIPAA training documentation there for you. So check that out wherever you pick up your apps, and we'll have it there. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/helpmewithhipaa. And you
have LinkedIn and Twitter and
we tweet in and
Medium
my face and all that.
Yeah. Not yours. But we do have, speaking of Twitter, we got a few questions that came in and a comment. So we're going to hit those real quick. First one was a tweet to us. Cool. Wanted to know what we thought. There's a listener sent a news story about paramedics in a Massachusetts ambulance company. They are getting Amazon Echo Dots placed into the ambulances. Okay. And some company has developed a new Alexa skill, which for those of you who Alexa, and there's certain things that Amazon builds into the Alexa system, but then you can develop a skill and give it to Alexa. And that is kind of like what normally you'd say plugins or add-ons. Well, it's adding a new skill to Alexa. And this new skill, the paramedics can go, Alexa, we have a patient. And then ask a question. Generally, I think it's the drug interactions and all those kind of things. And Alexa then will tell you what she knows about it. And Sybil, whose Twitter handle is shaines12, wanted to know our thoughts on it. She posted that thing and said, help me with HIPAA thoughts. Mm-hmm. So my response was, great idea. But I want to see the ambulance service SRA on it. I do. Because they think if all I do is I say, Alexa, we have a patient, which triggers that skill to work, then they don't have to worry about PHI. Mm-hmm. Is what it seems to me. And they may not realize that every word in the ambulance could be recorded and stored on the Amazon cloud. So I definitely want to see the SRA on that. And will I have an opportunity? No. But hopefully somebody's looking at it and making sure that they've minimized the risk and they're managing what could potentially end up out there. Because we've done it. We've dealt with it before. You know, there's folks that want to put Alexa, the physicians, the surgeons want to put Alexa in the ER so that they can have it play different music and, you know, those kind of things. So, But we've talked about that before. There's issues one must address. So there you go. That's how we feel about Alexa.
for now.
Yeah. Have you done an SRA? That's our only question. And if you're going to ask me, can you do it? I'm going to say no. So I'm just curious as to how they're solving those problems. Unless they think that all of the processing is going to take place on the device and it's the little Echo Dot. So I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. You may see them in the news.
Failed to do a proper SRA. No. Not that we've ever read that.
Yeah, only every time.
All right. Then we also got an email with a couple of questions. Can you explain on a podcast? So we would like to hear it on a podcast.
Can't do it in email.
Don't answer me.
Thanks, Carla. Yeah,
we know it's you. Can you explain on a podcast, quote, is there an exemption or safe harbor in regards to breach notification? What does that mean? So safe harbor is a legal term, and in these cases, the most common application of it in a breach case relates to encryption. So, for example, a laptop has PHI on it, it's stolen, you're able to confirm that it was properly encrypted, the encryption keys were not with it.
Yeah.
And you have a reasonable belief then due to that safeguard that no one could actually do anything with the data. So you met those requirements. Now, if your encryption was using some third-party tool that doesn't say it meets FIPS 149, so just being encrypted isn't enough. You've got to prove it was a proper encryption and the encryption key is not there and there it's not easy to break kind of encryption. Then you say, well, because I can believe it's reasonable that my encryption has protected it, then that's a safe harbor rule. So breach is the storm and encryption is my safe harbor to protect me from having to do notifications. And then, of course, there's other exemptions like a clinician accidentally, you know, looks at a chart and realizes it's the wrong patient and backs out and goes into the right chart. It was a mistake, and it's a good faith belief that they didn't even intend to see anything, and when they did, they immediately forgot about it and will never disclose it. So that's the exemptions, exceptions kind of thing, and then, of course, safe harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then a North Carolina question. Have you looked at the North Carolina rules? What they end up being?
The last I heard, they were still, you know, tossing them back and forth. So I don't know if they settled on anything yet.
Well, in there, it says you can do a substitute notice to a patient via telephone if you talk mm-hmm. to the person directly. That is an option. And the question was, does HIPAA allow this? Is the CE allowed to do that with HIPAA? And the answer is no. But yes.
Those are great.
Well, according to the statute, the notification requires a lot of things, but the specific in this area, what it says is, in any case deemed by the covered entity to require urgency because of possible imminent misuse of unsecured PHI, the covered entity may provide information to individuals by telephone or other means as appropriate, in addition to notice provided under paragraph D1, which is, of course, the written notice. So mm-hmm. it's not in place of, it's in addition to. So there you go.
Okay.
And then...
So if you want to do double the work, then go ahead.
Well, sometimes you need to let them know quicker than a letter can get there, is the point. Yeah. And there are some cases where that needs to happen.
That's why you should email them.
Don't start. Don't start that. Oh, Jesus, Pete. All right. Well, and then we get a note from a listener, and you want to read that? Well, first of all, I want you to try to say the name because I couldn't even figure out how to go about it. So we'll apologize right up front. I got nothing. I can't pronounce it.
Her name is Mary, and Mary says... It is her name. Mm-hmm. So her last name, I'll take a shot at it. Hribar.
Herbert. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're thinking about
the rebar.
Rebar. That's what I said.
Silent age. We'll go with that.
Okay. So Mary, apparently we have become Mary's friends because she says, she writes, you've become my friends while I'm on the road traveling between offices to do software training and coaching. I've been a good disciple and have been spreading the news, much like the gospel. I believe that each practice, vendor, staff person should have a personal relationship every day with their risk management policies and procedures to ensure they don't end up in HIPAA hell. Thank you for all you do. Anytime HIPAA is brought up on social media that I'm a member of, I go and shout out the podcast. Heck, I even do it when they misspell HIPAA.
Even when HIPAA isn't brought up. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. HIPAA was misspelled there. I'm not going to say anything, yeah. Mary, where.
I'm thinking that was on purpose.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, thanks for spreading the word. And as Donna says, Lord knows everybody needs to be relieved from the hell.
Yeah. Well, but I love how she ended it. She goes, thanks again. Keep spreading the word in all caps. Lord knows us heathens need it. And you know, yeah. I loved heathens. Heathens. I was like, I busted out laughing. So thanks, Mary. And keep spreading the word.
Yep.
All right. So
maybe we should get the hippaword.com.
Oh, no.
All right. Cool deal. That brings us to candy with strangers.
Stranger candy. So,
I know. So, you know, we talked about not taking candy from strangers, but giving candy to strangers, which brings us to our first news article.
Yes.
Here in my neck of the woods, in the Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Carolina Digestive Health Associates.
Yeah, and they're big. Yeah. They're big.
If you guys are listening, you should probably call Security First IT. That's right. Yeah,
call me after you get this stuff straightened out. We'll talk.
David's always afraid. But these folks, this is where we always tell people, you don't want to be in this position, and that's why you want to do all this stuff to prevent this from happening.
Mm-hmm.
The police called them up and said, by the by, we've picked up one of your employees, and we're pretty sure that they are gathering patient information and supplying it to a fraud ring.
What?
That's talk about a great day for the person that took that call.
Yeah. But it goes back to what we say a lot, which is everybody wants to talk about hacking and ransomware and all this other cybersecurity stuff when your insider threats right. are a huge deal.
Well, they're involved somehow almost every time. You know, it's either yeah. negligence or carelessness or downright I intended to do it, which is what this case is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 patients that she had turned over.
Mm.
100. And then they say, well, let us search your phone. So she hands it over. And therein lies the problem. We now know how she was getting it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures of screens with all the information and pictures of forms. And for all of you who wonder why you have a policy that you can't have your phones out on your desk or at work, there you go. Somebody else mm-hmm. created that problem for you. And I know you say you're not going to do it, but we always have to manage to the lowest common denominator, which is this person.
Plan for everything to go wrong.
Yeah, you just have to look at it. But so they're actively involved in this. They've had to notify a bunch of patients because they don't know how many she actually may have sent or elsewhere or done other things with. So every patient that this particular employee accessed, I think they're doing notifications on. So it's a big mess and not one that either of us would like to be a part of. But at the same time, it's, you know, hopefully they have rules in place. That's all I can say. Hopefully they've got everything in place because this is one, as they always say, if we see it in the news, you know, the investigators at the local offices, they watch the news and they make note and on their calendar, you know, well, within 60 days, I should be hearing about this. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I know. But then we saw another one, which an ex-Berkeley, and this is not Berkeley, California. This is in West Virginia, I think. Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia. So the employee has been told that she has to pay $22,000 in restitution after a patient identity theft thing. And in this one, the letters were mailed to 7,000 patients when this employee accessed information without authorization. So this one goes back. University healthcare system hired this individual in March 2014. And then all of this came to light in January 2017, and they suspended her, and there was an internal investigation linking victims to this identity theft that had been brought back to the hospital. That's what they had in common. It links them, and then they are able to link all of them back to her. They suspend her while they're figuring out what's going on. And then, like, 8 days later, they fire her. They're like, oh, yeah, you did it. And in this case, she was writing it on sheets of paper and printing out things, copies of driver's license and stuff when she could, and then making little notes and taking them home. So, boom, $22,000. And she has, there's a co-conspirator who hasn't been sentenced yet. And so we'll see what happens. But all of these stories then brought me back to Accenture's posting of their 2018 healthcare workforce survey on cybersecurity, where they do this online survey. And they had around 900 employees of providers, payers. There were some U.S. and Canada. They answered this online survey, and they published an article about it. And the very first quote that I read that makes my hair stand on, you know, catch on fire, you know, I got on my soapbox. The data show, which always freaks me out because to me, anyway, the data show that employees are a significant weak link in healthcare organizations' cyber defenses. Some are behaving badly intentionally. Others are simply not complying with policies, even though many say they understand them.
That's interesting.
That's like, you knew you weren't supposed to do this, right? Yep. Did it anyway. They go on to say the harsh reality is that healthcare employees are willing to put patients' medical data at risk. And this is despite the fact that 99% say they feel responsible for the security. So they know they're responsible.
I'm responsible for it, but
I'm not going to take on that responsibility and take it seriously. So they said that 21% of healthcare employees say that they write down their usernames and passwords near their computer.
Golly.
Anyhow.
Can you define near?
Under the keyboard, in a drawer. All you have to do is look around and you'll find it. So I'm going to have to start doing that in my site visits. Is, you know, find a desk that's unattended and start opening drawers and looking around everywhere to see if I can find it.
I have seen, and I won't say where, but I have seen in the past a location that had a username and password that they changed regularly. But the problem was they everybody had the same username and password, and it was up on a whiteboard.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite was they all had the same username, but each everything was assigned, but over here was user one, password one, and the next one was user two, password two.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
That still doesn't work. And so I don't think need to go down that rabbit hole and explain usernames and passwords, but I do love still telling the story of when I was doing a visit. This was way back in the early days of HIPAA, though. I mean, you know, in the aughts, you know, the aught sevens and the aught eights. But
the 1800s, 1900s.
Yuck. So we'll say 2006, 7, somewhere right in there at the beginning of the security and privacy rule. And I'm at an office and I go into this back area to consult on a computer. And there on the bulletin board, the guy in charge of the office, he's talking to me, he's explaining to me this problem. But the whole time I'm looking over his shoulder at this bulletin board with a list of usernames and passwords to all the hospitals that they access posted up on the bulletin board just for everybody to see. Now, I'm not saying, but you know, even back then, all I could do was stare at that. And I just held up my finger, like just a minute, and pointed at that. And I loved his response because he turned around and he goes, "Y'all, I told you she was coming." And to put that away while she was here.
You can put it back when she's gone, but make sure it's down.
I told y'all she is coming. So, but that, yeah, that is a known problem and something clearly we have battled forever and continue to battle because here we are 10 years later at least, and it's still an issue. But then came the scarier one. And this one I couldn't understand because in two different paragraphs, they had two different numbers. But a jaw-dropping 18% are willing to sell confidential patient data to an unauthorized outsider. So they are going to accept candy from a stranger in exchange for patient data. And this could be in the form of selling their login credentials, downloading data onto a portable device, for example. So it doesn't seem to matter what it is, but if they're willing to sell it, they most commonly expect to be paid between $500 and $1,000 for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the scary thing. A quarter of employees know someone in their organization that's already done this.
Uh-uh.
So if a quarter of employees... So 25% say they know somebody that's already done it, and 18% say they're willing to do it. There's some stuff maybe, going on.
Maybe the person they know is themselves. Those numbers match pretty close.
But... You know, then they go to 17% of healthcare employees who receive training still write down their usernames and passwords.
Because that ain't convenient.
Security's not convenient. Rule number one. Security's not optional. Rule number two. And what's rule number three, David?
Rule number three is if you're not going to be secure, then don't call me when it goes bad.
You see, now, you know... I watch NCIS, and I wish I could reach through there and whack you in the back of the head. Rule number three, it is not supposed to impede your ability to do your work and treat patients. So you have to find a balance of the first two to accomplish the third. However, if I train you not to do it, you hear me say not to do it, and then you still do it, and 19% of employees who are willing to profit. So of the 18%, I think is what we're saying, of the 18%, 19% of those said that they were trained too. So I got nothing. But they go up for employees who've had frequent training. So training is not a panacea. Training only matters if... it's included in a bigger picture.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a way. I mean, it doesn't talk anything about the type of training or how often or anything like that, but you have to have buy-in. We always talk about buy-in from the top, but you have to have buy-in, you know, all the way through the organization when it comes to training.
Well, that's building the culture. We used to say the culture of compliance, but compliance not enough anymore. If you only worry about compliance, you're in trouble. You have to have a culture of security, culture of cybersecurity. But still, if you're doing training and your training is the blah, 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 check, I did the training, then it's not working. It's just not working. It has to be engaging the people And you do that by building this culture where security comes first. It's something that you talk about in the mix of everything. If you talk about it all the time, then it becomes something where they're paying more attention, they're becoming engaged. But if the only time it's talked about is when they have a training that they're required to have and they watch a video or listen to somebody read something, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And you should be soliciting that 25% that know people that they're doing it. Yeah. There should be some way that they can, you know, be a whistleblower or something, even if it's, you know, even if it's something they can do anonymously. There just needs to be some way they can tell somebody.
Well, and most people are worried about doing that, you know. That's why one of the things we started, I mean, we don't really, you know, make any money off of it. We make enough to cover the cost, but here's an 800 number. You publish it. Anybody in your organization, whether it's staff member or patient, can call and leave a message, and we will be the intermediary and not provide any details. If you don't want to know, it can be completely anonymous, and we'll address whatever it is that you know. And it's been interesting, other than the heavy breathing one that we got in the hang up. but it has been very interesting.
That was for Krista.
I know. Krista got that one. That was fun. But the whole, you know, there's a big reason that we did that is that people are afraid that there's going to be retaliation by the organization or even by their fellow staff members. You know, what is that line in law enforcement? Snitches get stitches.
That's not in law enforcement. That's in the prison. Yeah.
Well, but that's where, I will not go. That is not a discussion for today on the prison systems, but.
No, especially not after this week.
No. All right. So
bad stuff in the South Carolina prison system.
I know. I was like, was David there?
I have been there. I done work for them once.
Never mind.
Many years ago.
But building that security workforce, security mindset in your workforce, that's what's, because the good news is, yeah, there's 18, 19%, but that means you've got like 80% who are not willing to sell out.
That's great.
Yeah. So try to look at it with rose-colored glasses. But in the organization, if you can take that 80% and build on it and build a culture where the folks that are honest and they're not easily influenced to take that candy from strangers, you know, they don't, if somebody else has the candy, they don't go, hey, how'd you get that candy? How can I get some? They go, how'd you get that candy? You know, totally different ball game. Mm-hmm. So they could then be the ones that are helping influence people to keep them from going over to the dark side.
So we're going to have to add into our SRAs an integrity assessment.
Well, we do talk about that. But if they can get them, you know, keep those ones that are on the fence and they're just easily influenced people, and some people are, then they can influence them the other way. And that would also then bring, you know, those others from feeling like it's just no big deal. I can do it and nobody's going to ask. So you immediately improve everything if you inspire and engage that other 80%. And that's what building a culture is about. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we don't do the technology things and all of that. But one of the articles, I love what it said, is that healthcare is still focused on HIPAA compliance, which means it's a 10-year-old perimeter security concept. You know, and they're right. And we've talked about it repeatedly. You can't tell me, well, it's not even 10 years old. I mean, it's 13 at this point. But, and it's even older. It's been in place 13 years. Just recently, we passed the HIPAA anniversary. And it's been in place 13 years, but you know it was written before then. So 15 years old that it was written? Well, you know, the law is the 1996. You can argue about what how old it is. It's just too freaking old to be effective, and those things are going to have to change, which is why we continue to bring along the cybersecurity framework, the NIST cybersecurity framework, or the framework, or NIST CSV. I don't know what they're calling it these days.
Well, this also goes back to what we teach about the new way to look at technology, which is it is not simply an IT issue, and this is not simply a training issue or simply an employee issue. I mean, it's everybody needs to be involved, the employees, the upper echelon, whatever you want to call them. You know, part of the problem is that people aren't even looking. You know, they're seeing it, but they're not looking at it. They may see somebody pull their phone up and take a picture of the screen and nobody even questions it.
I know. It's just like, you know, I would be like, there's so many times where we're walking through the office and you see something out of the corner of your eye and you just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around. What's that? What are you doing? How's that working? Is that okay? Is that the way you do things? Explain this to me. And people don't do that.
So-and-so said they needed this, so I took a picture of it and I sent it to them over text message.
Oh, yes. I love those. But the bigger picture is you need the technology, and we need more than what, you know, HIPAA lays out. But at least you can interpret it different ways. But all those people that are doing checkbox compliance, it's not working. And then
that'd be a good company name.
Checkbox Compliance. The HIPAA Made Easy Checkbox Compliance. So, but you also have to worry about, you know, clearly those insider issues are there. And it could be the inadvertent, the accidental, the people who are the non-malicious intent, intentional. I mean, there's a whole lot of things, and that's why we have to have the monitoring. That's why we have to watch and catch them in the act so that we can figure out what's going on before the police call and say, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the other thing is, when somebody gets caught, word gets around. The grapevine always knows. And when those tools catch somebody, then everybody usually gets a training update. And people
know. Other thing, though, is you know, somebody sees this on the news, and you're going to have people that have access to this data elsewhere and go, wait a minute, I can make how much money doing that? Well, I can do it better and not get caught. And so now you've, you know, given people the incentive to do things they didn't know they could do before.
Yeah. And this is not, you know, again, it's not the first time we've talked to about it. There's multiple articles and discussions about this same concept that U.S. healthcare is bad at security. We even did a previous episode. Does healthcare suck at cybersecurity? Our answer was yes. And even worse, everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. And so to think, oh, I don't have anything they want, I'm too small, they're not going to come. If you have healthcare data, you could become a target, not just a spray and pray attack. And that's a much bigger problem. Spear phishing? Wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even want to go into all the things that spear phishing. I mean, there's another article. We didn't even bring it in here, where somebody's notifying people because an executive's email was breached for like 11 weeks. Never mind. That's all I can say. But the bottom line is, don't accept candy from strangers. Don't give candy to strangers. Leave the strangers out.
Leave the candy out.
Only get candy out of your own candy bowl.
You cannot use or disclose that candy.
Well, I did hear a story about a VP of a healthcare system when they tested all of the management level people with a phishing test. Came into the next meeting and handed out suckers to all different people. And, you know, some people are like, well, why didn't I get a sucker? You got a sucker. Why, you know, and, other people are like, yeah, I got a sucker. I got my own. You know, you can see it like kids in elementary school almost. You can envision well, I got a sucker. Why didn't you get a sucker? I must be good at something that you're not good at. And then all of a sudden says, she goes, well, everybody that has a sucker fail for the fishing test. Talking about people going, spit that sucker out.
It no longer tastes good.
I thought it was brilliant. I want to do it. I want to find an opportunity to do it. But it's that failure of, and there again is the culture. That's building the culture. You know, it's kind of like ridicule, but at the same time, done in a manner of, you know, hide your sucker. Slide it. I would slide it quickly over to her in front of somebody else that's not looking, you know, something like that. But, you know, of course, I wouldn't have gotten a sucker in the first place.
I would make them wear a t-shirt to work that says, I fell for a fishing attack.
That's fun. All right. Well,
all right.
You got anything cool else deal. To add?
If I did, you wouldn't know it.
What? yeah, we're done for today.
Yep. All right, folks. That is our show for today. Please remember to follow us and share us out on your favorite social media site and rate us on the podcasting app. We need your help to spread the word, just like Mary. Thanks, Mary. Spread the word. We need some more disciples out there. And as always, you can send in your questions, comments, suggestions, whatever you want, really. Send it to contact@helpmewithhippa.com and we will read it and maybe respond.
If I do.
Yeah, I usually let Donna do all that. So she's quick.
I do all the heavy lifting.
I'm actually working during the day.
All the heavy lifting. Yeah, I'm answering those at night.
I'm usually working during the day, and yeah, you're just goofing off and playing around. So anyway, so remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It is about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhippa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.